This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello and welcome to The Complete Guide to Everything, a podcast about everything. I'm one of your hosts, Tom.
And I'm Tim.
I'm sorry if you could hear me literally cracking open a seltzer.
Yeah, that was really cool, Tom.
I didn't mean to, and it wasn't a seltzer, it was a beer. I'm a big boy, I can drink beer. I can't drink too many beer, because then I get gout again, but I could drink a few beers.
How are you doing this week, Tom?
I asked you first.
Tom, I'm doing well. Full disclosure, we are recording this the night before Thanksgiving 2020.
Yes.
I'm pumped for the Thanksgiving holiday, and I hope... You know, between now and when this episode comes out, nothing horrific happens in the world. Because I think it's going to be a nice 3 days before this comes out. But I like Thanksgiving. I'm excited. I'm sad that I am not going to see my family this year on Thanksgiving. But
that has nothing to do with COVID, though.
Yeah. Oh, that's just that's been a few years.
They don't want to speak with you. Because
it's the unpleasantness.
Because of what
you
did, yeah.
Yeah. But they got a little bit of a parade going tomorrow. I'm going to watch that on television.
Oh, I thought you were talking about your parents. I was like, your parents are doing a parade on TV?
Imagine being...
I'd be pretty impressed for... offense, but amateur parade organizers... To have their first parade on television.
It would be cool to have showbiz parents. I guess who would be Santa Claus? If Santa Claus was my dad, right? He's at the end of the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Yeah. Or like, I don't know, Ronald McDonald. Like a float of Ronald McDonald. If he were your dad, he's usually in balloon form.
What am I going to be? The son of a balloon?
Yeah, he could be. I could see it.
What does that mean?
You're very sensitive, like a balloon.
Oh, I am very sensitive.
Not in a good way. I know. Don't take that as a compliment.
Tom, I know you were insulting me. I have no choice. My defense mechanism is to just embrace the horrible things that you say to me. Because, you know, I got to get through this hour a week somehow.
Well, to answer your earlier question, Tim, I'm doing pretty well too. There is some other big news in the world, though. And I don't know. Have you seen this? Have you heard about this? This monolith in Utah that appeared?
Yeah, that appeared. Okay, explain this.
Well, it appeared, man. So there's a, I would say like 10-foot tall, no, like 12-foot tall monolith. Three-sided stainless steel. That appeared in Utah that was found by guys riding around in a helicopter counting sheep as their job. And then they saw this and they said, what the heck is that thing? Let's go back on our lunch break and take a look. And sure enough, it's just this big monolith that's embedded into the rock. And they don't know how it got there. It's very far from roads. They don't know how it got there or how long it's been there.
Who cares?
What do you mean, who cares?
Stainless steel. What do you think it is, Tom?
Well, initially it sounded like it might be UFO related. Since then, the Parks Department, the Bureau of Land Management, they had... which always confused me because that's BLM, which is also Black Lives Matter. So I'm reading this article and they're like, the BLM officer. I'm like, what is that? What does this have to do with Black Lives Matter? So it's confusing in that.
They've expanded their influence, Tom. It's a good thing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just I was curious where that came in to all this. But anyway, Bureau of Land Management. They didn't want
wild stuff.
They didn't want anybody to know where it was because they said, look, if people know where this is, they're going to try and get out here to see this. And this is
who cares?
Well, listen, they're like, this is in a place that's like pretty remote, pretty hard to access. We don't want to be back out here next week, you know, airlifting a body out of here because some, you know, idiot tried to find this and they're not otherwise good at hiking in a desert. But people found it anyway. They found it on Google Maps. You can see it on Google Maps. So now the place is just crawling with like YouTubers and influencers doing videos there. But the YouTubers and influencers going there, I was watching one of their videos today, took a lot of mystery out of the thing.
Why is that?
Because you can see rivets in it, and they're very obviously like the same type of rivets that we learned how to do in Metal Shop. And you can see where they cut the rock and then like filled it with like a silicone or epoxy to keep the monolith there.
Yeah. I mean, I saw this headline and I was like, weird. And I'm not exactly sure what a monolith is. It's been a long time since I've seen 2001: A Space Odyssey. Saw it when I was like 8, didn't understand it.
Yeah. I've never seen it as like an adult who's yeah, like paying attention.
Exactly. They were playing it, you know, see it big and 35 millimeter or whatever, at a theater near me, before the COVID times. And it's just too long. It's like, what, almost 3 hours or something? I'm not going to sit in a theater for three hours.
Yeah, well, and it's very slow, I believe.
Yeah. This is, which I is think that would be good for a drugs person.
Yeah.
If you smoke a doobie and then go in there and let it wash over you. But right, that's not me. I'd just be full of anxiety if that happened. So I'm not a drugs man. So I was like, okay, well, let me click on this article. And they interviewed the guys in the helicopter.
Yeah.
And then, like, immediately they were like, eh, probably some, like, artist put this out here. Probably a fan of 2001: A Space Odyssey.
Yeah.
And that was it. And yeah, I was like, why is this news? And then, since then, it's been everywhere. Everybody's reported on this. And, like, nobody has been reporting on, or nobody has been as clear-headed about it since that first article I read, where everybody's like, what is this? And very clearly just some artist or somebody put that out there, or some prankster, some merry prankster.
Right. Well, that's why I looked into it today, because I was like, somebody, surely other people have figured out where this thing is and got to get a closer look and would have a much better idea of, is this really a weird thing? I mean, it's a weird thing regardless, but there's
Yeah, but weird things happen all the time now. A bunch of, like, you got to do weird things to even feel alive.
But this was a fun weird thing, you know? And weird things that are fun don't happen very often anymore. One of the first articles, sorry, I was looking up this guy's name. No, I don't think that's him. There's this artist, his last name's McCracken, but I forget what his first name, David McCracken maybe, but he did a lot of art that was very similar to this, and people thought it was him, but they're like, but he died in 2011, and it's like, well, they're also saying this thing could have been out there since the 50s, and nobody found it, because it's in a very remote little area. But this guy, he did it's all cool art, and it makes me think I should have been an artist. I should have worked in sculptures.
Tom, guess what? You still can. There's still time.
Yeah, I guess I can be one of them old artists at the crafts table.
I feel like it's too late for me to do anything.
Right.
But yeah, neither of us is going to be a professional athlete. But even if you or I applied ourselves,
archery.
I think maybe there's still time for me to learn how to throw a knuckleball. But I would also have to build up arm strength.
Right, but then you could come in beyond,
That's not beyond ringer. A man in his late 30s to get stronger.
Right, you might be able to play AAA ball. I don't know if you'll make the major leagues at this late age, but
why not? It's a knuckleball situation. As long as I can make the ball go all whirly and weird.
Yeah, but they don't hire pitchers who can only throw knuckleballs.
Yeah, they do.
Really? They have no other pitcher. No other pitch, rather.
They usually have a crappy fastball. Right. But like,
that's what
I could have a crappy fastball, too, if I got strong enough.
I don't know if you could have a crappy fastball.
Why not?
I don't think your arm's capable of moving that fast anymore.
Tom, you have no idea.
Just how fast your arm can move?
Yeah, I'll show you. You know what? When you least expect it, I'll slap you so fast, your head will freaking spin around. Hey, Tom, let's get right into it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not mince words here. This is an episode about the internet, about cyberspace, about the information superhighway.
Right.
About the old www, the http://www.shopping.org.
Now, are these forward slashes or backslashes? You didn't...
They're forward slashes. I don't know how people got into the whole saying backslash when it's a regular slash.
Wait, in the URL, those are forward slashes?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Why do people say backslash?
I don't know.
Are you sure?
It's a thing that, like, someone's dad messed up in, like, 1995, and then everybody just...
I'm also looking at my keyboard. I think I've only got one kind of slash.
Now, you got the on the question mark.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And then above, between delete and return, you got the backslash.
Oh, there it is. Boy, hiding in plain sight, huh?
But, like, if you're writing either or, right?
I have never... This button is brand new. It has never been touched, the other
slash button. The backslash
button? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Thing is so as crisp as the day this came out of the box.
But, you know, the one on the question mark,
mm-hmm.
right? That's the one in the HTTP.
Yeah.
And that's what you would also use to write either slash or, right? That's not a backslash in the middle of either or.
Right. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's a type of slash. I can't think of instances where the other slash is used.
No. Like, programming, maybe? There's probably
some
stuff.
Programming stuff, but I'm thinking even like when you see you know, one of those an address for a file, you know, in the old DOS days, it was still that one, I think. Maybe not the command prompt, but you weren't pressing that. I'm just saying when you see like file locations, that's where that slash comes in. Oh boy, this is boring.
We're talking about Cyber Monday.
Cyber
deals. Internet deals, baby.
Hey,
tis the season for deals.
Yeah. Cyber Monday has nothing to do with cybering.
A cyber ring?
No, cyber sex, Tim. Sex in virtual reality, cybering.
No, and I was never clear on what exactly that entailed.
Well, nowadays, there's this thing called teledildonics. Have you heard about this? Have you seen this?
I have not. Sounds like some wild stuff.
It is some wild stuff, Tim. It's basically like remote-controlled sex toys, but through the computer. So it's not the computer. I guess you probably could put the computer in charge if you wanted to, but you can have your...
That's a terrifying... Tom, that's a slippery slope.
Exactly. But you can have somebody else on the internet control said device to work on you, give you
Tom,
one
I
over.
I want to keep this as focused on shopping and commerce as possible because, you know, what you see is what you get in the episode title. But I do just want to ask, has the pandemic, has that led to any kind of, innovations in what you're talking about? Yeah.
Not that I'm aware of, Tim, but
one would think that this would accelerate all that stuff that, like, the late 90s, they were like, well, you know, in 20 years, all sexual stuff is going to be through a computer.
Right.
Right? The movie Strange Days.
I don't know if it's accelerated progress. I imagine it's accelerated sales. Like, I know the Oculus Quest VR helmet, they were hard to find for a while because they were getting snapped up left and right.
Yeah, but so is the Switch, the Nintendo Switch, and right. There's no way you could use that for I think it might have just been bored people.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, people are bored regardless, so I'm sure, you know, all variety of sex toys are sold out.
Right.
And especially with, you know, for a while, manufacturing overseas was also affected, so shortages all over the place. But I don't know, Tim. I'll have to look into if there have been any advances.
No need. I don't actually need to know. I just thought that was something that you would have done a deep dive into.
No, I mostly remember
several deep dives.
I mostly remember this from like the 90s when they were, you know, kind of predicting every kind of crazy internet thing you could ever imagine. Almost none of which came true, and like even wilder things happen where it's like, you thought we'd all have VR headsets, but did you predict it would disrupt democracy and potentially take down multiple countries?
Cyber Monday, mm-hmm. or for some reason, Blue Monday, Tom.
Oh, you're talking about toothing. Which was popular when Bluetooth first came out.
What's toothing?
Toothing was when you would be, it was big overseas because they had better phones for a while. Overseas in Europe, if I recall, where people had phones with Bluetooth and they could just send out messages to like everybody's phone nearby and say, you know, hello, chap, you up for it? You know, and that meant like having sex. It was one of those things that was definite.
No, Tom, I'm talking about buying. I'm talking about sales
on the
internet.
Well, I'm talking about Bluetoothing, Tim, and I'm just here to say, I think it was mostly an urban myth. I don't think a lot of. I'm sure people tried it, but you know, just like putting your phone number up on a bathroom stall, you know.
People weren't doing that with their own phone numbers, Tom.
What?
Those were pranks.
No, they were doing it. People were lonely, looking for a good time.
Tom, hold on.
Next you're going to tell me that the holes in the stall walls weren't just for making sure that the stall wasn't occupied.
Okay. Cyber Monday, Tom. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the virtual world's answer to Black Friday, right? Yes.
Right, because Cyber Monday came about, I looked it up, around 2005.
Mm-hmm.
And this was when, I feel like this was when Black Friday, like, was really, really a thing. It was when stores...
Black Friday being the day after Thanksgiving where they would have big sales, primarily on kind of electronics, right? That's what really...
Yeah, I mean, kind of everything, though. But I think around
it's big box stores mostly.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
I think around 2005 was when those kinds of stores started getting crazier with like, we're going to open at 5 a.m. Then we're going to open mm-hmm. at 4 a.m. Then we're going to open midnight the night before. So I think websites were looking to compete. This was also back in the day, you know, 15 years ago. When websites were like, oh, what are we going to do to get people off the real world and online more?
Yeah, exactly. Where people had to be like reminded like, oh, I can buy things online?
Yeah. Boot up.
That seems like a lot of problems.
Boot up your computer, sign on, and check out this website. And this was also back when people were deathly afraid of putting their credit card numbers online. that somebody would steal their credit card. But now those same people will believe anything they read online and share it with everyone they know.
And give much more than just their credit card numbers.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not sure if I've talked about it on the show, but like one of the things that irks me more than anything right now are like these COVID tracing apps, contact tracing apps. And people are like, yeah, right. I'm not falling for that one. You're just going to, you want me to download that so you can tell, you know, so you can tell where I go. It's like, hey, I got news for you about that Android or Apple phone you've got. Especially, you know, Apple claims that they're, but if you're using the Google Maps thing or whatever, they're collecting all that stuff. You can go on Google and look at your location history. It'll show every place you've ever been with your phone.
It's helpful if you want to retrace your steps and relive the murders that you've committed in where you've dumped
exactly.
the bodies.
But you're taking a big chance just bringing your phone. Look, if you're dumping a body, you're going to be tempted to bring your phone with you. Don't leave it at home. Don't turn it off either, because then they'll see like, oh, it was off for a while. Wonder why. Anyway, that's just a little murder advice.
Tom, so this is the order of events.
Mm-hmm.
Black Friday blowing up. People are, you know, they're making so many sales.
Yeah.
Shop.org comes in.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, crap, how do we get people to buy stuff on the internet instead of in real life?
Yeah.
And they're like, huh, here's what we'll do. We'll put out a press release. And the press release was entitled, Cyber Monday quickly becoming one of the biggest online shopping days of the year. Cyber Monday didn't exist at that point, and they just put out a press release saying, oh, it's the biggest shopping day of the year.
Well,
and just willed it into existence. Fucking PR is wild, man. You just say things in hoping that it'll become a reality, and the fact that you've said it is, it just makes everybody go like, nah, I guess this is reality.
No, they weren't. It wasn't to say Cyber Monday is the biggest shopping day. It was the Monday after Thanksgiving.
The press the title of the press release was Cyber Monday, quickly becoming one of the biggest online shopping days of the year.
Yeah, because that's the name of it now.
Yes, but they defined first time they defined it, they already said it was the biggest thing.
But like when you went to see a movie, if you go to see Iron Man, are you like, what the hell? They're calling the movie Iron Man? He's not even Iron Man in the beginning of it.
No, but if the ad said Iron Man had the biggest weekend gross of all time on Thursday night, the ad said that. No, it hasn't. You're saying this prematurely.
They're not saying it. It's just that they're naming it. It's easier. It'd be way clunkier than saying the Monday after Thanksgiving has always been one of the shopping days of the year. And now we're calling it Cyber Monday.
Why?
That's way too long. You just call it Cyber Monday. You say, it's all right. Look, we coined
Yeah, they want to make it feel inevitable, and they hooked rubes like you, freaking hook, line, and sinker, man.
Well, I mean, there are plenty of other ones that people try.
As Wayne and Garth said, fished in, and then they did that thing with their head.
Fish, yeah. Yeah. There are plenty of other ones that they tried. Like, I was looking this up, White Wednesday was the day before Thanksgiving, and it was...
No, people are prepping their stuffing.
The idea was, it was this guy working for 1-800-Flowers.
How did that work out, dick, right?
What?
Flowers through the phone?
Well, I take it back. He was working for 1-800-Flowers.com.
Oh, never mind.
And he said, I don't know. At the time, a lot of people had slow internet at home. The idea for having, I don't know. I guess that was like 2 years before Cyber Monday, apparently. So like people were already trying to be like, all right, what could be... like an internet one. White Wednesday. It's the opposite of Black Friday.
I get it.
But, you know, but it's like, well, you
the know. Black was in contrast to red, right? The black yes. was denoting profits, right? It's when a company's revenue went from red to black.
Right. However, that was kind of backwardly traced. It was called Black Friday and Black Saturday originally, just because it was like, you know, like other black days, Black Monday or whatever. It was just like hell. And that was what the police referred to it as Black Friday and Black Monday, because all the shopping places and traffic and everything was insane. And then it was in the 80s, I think it was 81, that somebody was like, well, let's say... We don't want to advertise, like, come out for Black Friday. It's called Black Friday because it's hell.
It won't be hell for you, the consumer, even though it will be. It'll just be hell for our employees
yes.
that we're probably not paying a living wage and making them wake up at 3 a.m. and come to work and deal with a throng of assholes.
Yeah.
Over limited deals while... The executives sleep in their beds.
So
it's
they,
a real sad state of affairs, Tom.
They came up with it with that expression, but it was like, well, that is at the time it was typically true. It's not it's certainly not universally true. But they were like, oh, this is a better way to say why it's called Black Friday. And then, in fairness, it was once they said, oh, that's why it's called Black Friday. Then you started hearing the phrase a lot more often. I think because places were more comfortable saying, hey, Black Friday. It's when we make all of our money. And then people right. thought, well, that's probably why everything's on sale. They feel bad that they, you know, they've got a whole extra month of the year to go and they're already making money. They should give something back.
Right. You know, did you ever go to a Black Friday sale, Tom?
One time I went to a doorbuster to get a cheap television at Best Buy. However, I worked.
What year do you think that was?
Probably around 2005.
Okay.
2000. Yeah, probably around 2005. So I think it was like right when this stuff was becoming much more prevalent. I think it was maybe only like a year or two before that Best Buy had started doing this kind of thing. But I worked in retail for 4 or 5 Black Fridays. So I'm a veteran of Black Friday, Tim.
But Apple didn't really participate in that. You worked Apple retail.
Yeah, Apple didn't participate in it, which made it even worse, because then people would come in and be furious that we didn't have any sales. Or I think in the beginning when I worked there, we didn't have any sales at all. And then later on, it was like, well, we should have sales. So it was like, oh, if you buy a, you know, freaking $3,000 computer, you get a free pair of headphones, or we'll give you, you know, a $25 iTunes gift card. They were like insulting, and I believe that that's still mostly the case with the Apple's Black Friday stuff. That it's like kind of just an insulting amount of money.
Put up a sign that says "Take it or leave it, asshole."
Yeah, basically. Well, and I remember, like, you know, kind of trying to explain to people, like, our store is packed every single day. We don't need to have sales. I'm sorry, like that's just how. You know, capitalism works, like supply and demand. We can't keep this shit in stock. You know, this is like during the iPod era. It's like, well, we don't have any iPods to sell you anyway, so we certainly aren't discounting them.
Yeah, that's how capitalism works. If you want something different here, join me and we'll tear down capitalism together. And then you know, recruited them to start the revolution, right?
Yeah, that was, it was very popular in a Long Island mall to start passing around socialist ideas. People ate it up. But, yeah, so And it always made me mad because we still had to work the same hours, or we had to, because the mall was open, the store had to be open. So it's like, well, and that was the next thing. People were like, you don't have any sales. Why are you open at 5 o'clock in the morning? It's like, I know it sucks. We had to open. It's like the rules of our lease or whatever.
It sucks. I had to leave Thanksgiving dinner at 4:30 p.m. so I could get enough sleep so I could come here and get yelled at by you because whoever sets the prices at Apple didn't want to have any sales.
Yeah. Well, but I'll tell you, Tim, it was easy to fall asleep at 4 p.m. Do all the tryptophan from the turkey.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Tom?
Yes.
What's your social battery like right now?
Beep.
Oh.
Boop.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Uh-huh.
Tom, I'll tell you from my perspective, since you're avoiding the question.
Uh-huh.
My social battery feels a little drained right now.
That was what that second sound was.
But
I had to do the going up. To show you the going down.
You gotta go up to get down.
That's what my first single's about.
It's weird. I feel kind of drained socially, even though you can attest I don't do much socially.
Yeah, and you enjoy social things, but
I do.
But
and
it drains you.
Yeah, I don't know. It can be very easy to ignore our social battery, which is kind of what I'm doing right now, and spread ourselves thin. Or just not know, kind of like, you know, where the optimal socialization is for
you.
You
want to be a shut-in, but you can't be a party animal.
Yeah. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Mm-hmm. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more time alone. I don't know. Maybe you need a little bit of both. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. Tom, we are, as everybody knows, very pro-therapy on this podcast.
Yes.
Anybody can benefit from therapy. It's not just for people, you know, dealing with trauma.
Yeah, or going through tough times.
Yeah, it's helpful for learning positive coping skills and setting boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself, Tom. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, like you, Tom. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And all you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/complete guide today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, .com/complete guide.
This HeadGum podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, wow.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crow portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Tim, as I was saying earlier, but you kept interrupting me.
Oh, brother.
There have been attempts at coming up with other things besides Cyber Monday and Black Friday to varying success. Green Monday.
What's that?
I think it's just like the other two. I thought maybe it would have something to do with like renewable energy, but I think it's just green for cash.
Oh, money in, yeah, it's green.
Money is green in America, at least. And
why does it need to have a color? Like, why does the day need to have a color?
I agree. I mean
Cyber Monday. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's actually cool. You know what? I'm looking at the other ones and a lot of these don't. I think that was like a dumb attempt. It was eBay. eBay was trying to do it. Super Saturday. That is the Saturday before Christmas. And not necessarily good sales then. It's just for people who procrastinate, that is their biggest shopping day, the Saturday before Christmas.
Tom, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard, because Christmas is not like Thanksgiving, where it's fixed on a Thursday every year.
Yeah, but people...
Christmas could be on a Sunday. And if you're doing your shopping online the Saturday before Christmas, what kind of dingbat? No, you're not going to get that.
Nobody said it was an online thing, Tim. It's an IRL thing.
Tom, why are you talking about all this stuff when we're talking about Cyber Monday? Because you're just like, no, I'm talking about non-online shopping.
How can we talk about Cyber Monday if we have nothing to contrast it with? Giving Tuesday, that's the Tuesday after Thanksgiving.
That's a thing that actually has caught on, I would say. Judging by my email inbox on the Tuesday after Thanksgiving.
Small Business Saturday,
mm-hmm.
which is
More of an American Express situation.
Yeah,
right?
It's the last Saturday in November. And American Express owns the trademark on that. But basically, if you have an Amex card, they do like a little deal for you if you use it in a small business.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's like a decent, like, all right, this certainly isn't altruistic. It's getting mm-hmm. people to use their Amex cards, which ultimately helps Amex. But hey, at least they're like, I don't know, trying to support small businesses.
Can I
Amex
voice
doesn't
a controversial
care where
opinion?
You swipe your card. They just want you to swipe it.
Yeah, here's my controversial opinion.
Okay.
I don't care for most small business owners.
I think you've expressed this opinion on the show before.
No, that's not true.
You've definitely expressed it in your private life.
No, that was going to be a joke about how nobody gives me discounts.
About how small businesses don't give you discounts?
Yeah, for being a nice guy, coming in and being like, look,
well,
I could buy this at Target. I could buy this at Target. Why don't you knock 10% off this?
Oh, I see.
I'll buy it from you.
Well, that's not coming in and being a nice guy.
What do you mean? Yeah, no, it's a nice guy because they can give it to me for 10% off, or I could not buy it at all. You got to haggle. You got to negotiate.
Well, yeah, but that doesn't necessarily make you nice. That was the other thing that working in retail, people are always trying to haggle. And it's like, does this look like a flea market? Like, hey, if I pay in all cash, can I not have to pay sales tax? It's like, this is a multi-billion-dollar corporation. We've got
like,
way
brother,
better
can...
ways to avoid tax than just taking in cash.
I get paid hourly. I don't care.
Right. Like, yeah, this is... People would ask sometimes, like, to speak with the owner. Like, this doesn't have an owner. And they're like, yeah, I know. It's like a big company, but this store has an owner and I want to speak to him. It's like, no, this store does... Do you understand corporations and how corporations work?
Tom, so the idea of Cyber Monday, originally, is that people were going to go out window shopping all weekend after Thanksgiving, but they weren't going to buy anything.
They were going to wait until Cyber Monday.
And they came back Monday, and they're like, all right, enough window shopping, enough dilly-dallying.
Right.
Let's get down to business. Let's actually buy some of this stuff that I saw. And I was able to see it in the flesh, and I liked it.
Yeah.
So now to find the deals online.
Right.
I don't think that ever actually happened, though, right? You're not going to go to Sears and just be like, just browsing. You're not going to go to Best Buy and be like, you used to go to Best Buy and just like see what was new in the world of electronics.
Well,
but not on the weekend after freaking Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that would be the worst time to go and window shop. Like, oh, I guess I'll brave the crowds to not buy something.
Yeah.
I'm going with
Tom, I went back to Best Buy recently. It was the worst experience of my life.
You went there again after I ran into you?
Yeah.
Wow, you really love Best Buy.
I was buying a new speaker for my home, Tom.
Okay.
And you had to go on an escalator to get in, right?
Yeah.
And so, this guy...
So far, this isn't a complaint about the Best Buy.
No, this isn't exactly a complaint about the Best Buy at all. But this maskless man brushed by me on the escalator.
Yeah.
And it was like... Dude, I'm not walking up the escalator because there's people a few steps ahead of me who are standing on the escalator.
And this also, that's like a pretty short escalator. I mean, actually, it's a little long, but I don't know, whatever.
But this isn't the climate where you, especially without a mask, just brush by somebody on the escalator. And so, like, I gave him a dirty look.
You're not trying to make a flight.
Yeah. And then he did this weird motion when I gave him a dirty look.
Was
like,
it
with
the
his
jerk
head.
Off? Motion?
No, it was his
people
head
have done that to you before and you haven't picked up on it.
He kind of pointed his head toward his left arm and he had like he was holding it completely straight, but it looked like he had something up his sleeve. Like his arm was just like a statue's arm. It was like in this really weird frozen position.
Uh-huh.
And he just walked in and he just kept looking back at me. And I was like, literally, what does this man have up his sleeve? And I was terrified. So I had ordered a
mechanical gun that would come out, didn't you?
No, I thought maybe he had a knife.
Okay.
That he could easily...
Yeah.
I don't know. What else? Why would he gesture towards his sleeve and then hold his arm strangely?
Maybe he has a fake arm. Maybe he's an amputee. And that was a prosthetic. And he was trying to show you, like, no, sorry, I didn't feel that look. Obviously, you can tell by how motionless my arm is. That's a prosthetic arm.
Now is his left arm, and he passed me on my left, so his right arm brushed against me.
Maybe he had two prosthetic arms, and he was just pointing to the closest one.
No, so I had to take a weird, because I had ordered my thing online, so I had to walk to the back to pick it up.
Yeah.
And I took a weird route and just kept my eye on that guy, because I was afraid he was going to stab me over giving him a dirty look.
The that same Best Buy, now I'm remembering because that's not the entrance I normally go in. It's the Best Buy across the street from Barclays Center, if you're interested in, doing the Tim and Tom tour of Brooklyn. There was a security guard holding the door open, but he was holding the door open by standing in front of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the door was open at like a 90-degree angle. So he was effectively blocking the door. And on his phone, with his head down, on the way in and on the way out, I saw two different people accidentally knock the phone out of his hand and send it like flying across the sidewalk. It's like, buddy, you get out of the way. Don't get a holder to hold the door open. Don't just stand in front of the door.
Anyway. Atlantic Avenue Best Buy is wild. And
that
what
place
do you mean,
is hell.
Get a holder to hold the door?
Get like a doorstop or something.
Okay.
I don't know. Just don't stand in front of the door. There was no... You like had to make physical contact with this man in order to like slip in the store. And he had his phone out. So it was like, oh, there's even less room to navigate through this.
Is he a big fella?
He wasn't tiny. Yeah. Yeah, he didn't leave much.
Could his nickname
ironically
have been ironically tiny?
He wasn't
He's
that
not that big.
No,
yeah, okay.
No. It'd be the kind of guy where if somebody called him tiny, you'd probably be like, "What? That guy's, I don't know, more or less normal size." I don't like
the premise.
A lot of times when I'm places, people call me big man. Hey, big man.
No, they don't.
They do. It happens, and I don't like it.
Tom, you're a normal-sized man.
They call me big man, and I'm like, I'm not that big.
Who has called you big man?
People at stores.
When's the last time you were called big man? What store?
Somebody at that Best Buy called me big man.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
I had
that shirt with the sleeves ripped off of it. I think that's why he called me big man. He was talking about how big my biceps were.
Yeah. So the premise of Cyber Monday is weird, right? Because if we're talking about the general, like, who this is targeted towards, right? It's people who are probably off of work Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday after Thanksgiving. And then presumably going back to work on Monday.
Yes.
And that's when they're going to do all their shopping.
Well, and it causes a huge amount of productivity loss.
Do you buy that? Do you think
no,
that they
I
actually
whenever,
measure this stuff?
Whenever, like, I forget the last time I heard about this, but it was like something crazy happened during the day and everybody was like watching it on live video or whatever. And they were like, oh, that equates to, you know, $5 billion of lost productivity. It's like, no, it didn't. That might
The Balloon Boys saga cost corporate America $10 billion.
Yeah, it's like, well, that might didn't fly into outer space. It just stopped moving around for a few minutes not even
well,
stopped.
No. I mean, people, you know, got paid and weren't working. I understand. But like productivity is a myth.
Yeah.
And also the other facts about like, oh, you know, Cyber Monday is, you know, accounts for $7.9 billion. Who cares about those numbers? Especially when it's, you know, like across the entire economy.
There's no way you can figure that kind of stuff out, especially day of or the next day. They have like, oh, this is us. But I was thinking about even like the number of people in the world, 7.8 billion.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know that.
It's not that much already, is it?
That's what it said. That's what my computer said when I asked it.
Hmm.
But that's. But I'm always like, nah.
Well, I mean, they have to try.
Yeah, but are they
to quantify that?
Are they including, like, you know, untouched tribes that don't have contact with the developed world?
Yeah, I think they are, and I think they're assuming, like, all right, we can assume that there are this many people that we're not counting and that they're reproducing at this rate. Like, nobody is claiming that number is an accurate, exact number. I think they're just trying to get...
Well, you should talk to my computer, because my computer seemed pretty confident.
You are an impossible person to talk to, Tom. I can't believe I voluntarily do it an entire hour every week.
As of November 2011, 22% of employers had fired an employee for using the internet for non-work-related activity, and that includes things like Cyber Monday.
Did you just cite a decade-old statistic?
Only 9 years old, Tim.
Ripped from the headlines.
It has to be it has to be way higher now.
I don't know. I think it's built in that they know, like...
Yeah, maybe that's true, too, that it's become much more just acceptable of...
Well, to your point earlier, like, with the proliferation of smartphones... And the like, and mobile apps, you know, it was difficult for someone who was at a service employee
right.
to go to work and dick around on the internet yeah. in 2009. Mm-hmm. It's infinitely easy to do that in 2020.
Yeah.
And I don't think people are getting fired over that. It's certainly nobody at the Best Buy. No employees at the Best Buy across from the Barclays Center are getting fired for being on their phone.
They're all on their phones all the time.
Yeah, which is fine. Whatever. Right. They're making
but then sometimes
$7.25
like,
an hour.
I'm like,
it's fine.
Oh, look, show me some of the features of that phone. And I'm like, well, this phone's not for sale.
Tom, have you ever asked a Best Buy employee
to show me the features of a phone?
Or to do anything other than, like, this case is literally locked. Can you unlock it? Because the thing I want is in there.
Yeah.
Or, like, this thing is in the back. Can you go get this exact thing that I want? Like, you've never been like, tell me about the features on this stereo system. Tell me about the, what kind of picture-in-picture option does this television offer?
No, yeah, I've never done that. I do remember, I forget what it was, but I had to return something once. And it was something a little expensive, I guess, and like electronic, obviously. And they were like, well, a Geek Squad member has to look at that. You have to like go stand in line for Geek Squad. They have to check it. And it was maybe the maddest I've ever been in my life when I was told that. But honestly, it was more or less painless after that. And, you know, just hearing the conversations happening around me, it was bad. I didn't like anything I was hearing. I didn't like things customers were saying. I didn't like things employees were saying back.
Tom, mm-hmm. Where do you shop for deals?
Where do I?
Do you participate? Do you get amped up for Cyber Monday?
No.
Do you ever do like you crack your knuckles and go like, all right, let me see what the deals on offer for Cyber Monday are this year?
No, I actually always forget about Cyber Monday.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people send you emails, but like, Tom, I don't like deals. I always assume deals, especially these days, are just a trick.
I was going to say that I feel like deals nowadays are more tricks than they are treats. I know, for example, Black Friday, Cyber Monday. Now, you know, you'll see different like laptops and tablets and televisions and stuff for like these insane sounding deals. And a lot of times now, those are models that are specific to to these deals where it's like, all right, we're going to build a version of this one that is like stripped down to its core. And we're going to call it like instead of the T8932, it's going to be the T8932A. And nobody's going to realize that when they buy it.
It's going to look pretty much the same. But
it's going to look identical. We're going to use the same mold.
So much crappier.
Yeah, we're going to use the same mold and everything.
And it's meant to be sold to trick people between Friday and Monday of Thanksgiving week.
Yeah. And same thing with like, laptops and tablets. I just feel like it's very rare. I can't remember the last time I thought, like, wow, I just got a really good deal.
Yeah. No, you don't. If it was a really good deal, they wouldn't offer it.
Right. Everything's kind of, like, charged according to what it's worth nowadays.
And also, there's, like, you want to buy a TV, where can you go? Best Buy, Amazon, or Costco?
Yeah. Yeah, right? Exactly. There aren't that many competitors either. And there aren't that many companies making TVs.
Yeah.
And the ones that do make TVs make 10,000 different models that you can't even keep track of, like, what's what.
Exactly. When they're like, oh, this was $800 and this was $400, and now it's $450. And it's just like, all right, I wasn't keeping up.
Right.
Was this really $800 a week ago? Or are you just telling me that? And
well, a lot of times it's
worst.
Like, you know, this was $800, but now it's $450. And that's because this is last year's model, and this year's model is $400 and way better. Yeah. And we're just trusting that you don't know that.
Also, I think Cyber Monday and Black Friday are predicated on the, like, oh, you can buy Christmas and holiday presents for your loved ones.
Yeah.
But, like, nobody's actually doing that. Nobody's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to get my cousin this big screen TV. You're only shopping for yourself.
Yeah, it's frustrating because, like, I'm sure you're like this. I'm one of those people that, you know, I'm hard to buy a gift for because I have no impulse control. So if I want something, I just buy it immediately for myself.
But just bought a projector for my bedroom, Tom.
Whoa.
Because there's no, like, convenient place to put...
Are you going to be doing some PowerPoints in there?
No, I'm going to watch Hulu.com.
Wow. I just mounted a television in my bedroom.
Yeah.
On the wall, like it was a 10-point buck.
It's 2020, man. You can't... You need to figure out... You got to watch TV in bed sometimes.
Right.
The world sucks.
Well, honestly, it is much easier. Like, I remember as a kid getting a TV in my room and, like, my parents getting a TV in their room and then, like, getting a TV in the basement. It's like, well, we're going to have to run the wire. We're going to have to, like, buy another or rent another cable box. And nowadays, it's like, well, no, you can just go buy a streaming stick for $18 and it will get you, you know, just about everything you'd want.
Then you can watch Leno every night as you drift off to sleep.
Exactly. What were you? Oh, you bought a projector.
But like, I bought it a month before Christmas when like my parents are just like, what do you want for Christmas? And I'm just like, I don't want anything. You can't get me anything. This would have been a perfect gift for them to be like, oh, I want this weird like extravagant thing that's stupid that I probably won't even use that much. And it's like just expensive enough that it'd be like stupid and irresponsible for me to buy it for myself for no reason. But I went out and I bought it for no reason.
Well,
it's great.
That's often what my Christmas list, a lot of times it's stuff that it's like, I can't really justify buying that. Not necessarily because it's like expensive. Usually it's like it's expensive for what it is. It's nice. So I would like to have it. But in my head, I can't spend $100 on this because I know I could get something almost as good for $20 or whatever.
Right.
But then I also have a problem where I always want to kind of make a list that's like, here's my list if you can get these things on sale. Don't buy this for me at full price, but I'm seeing a lot of sales online for this. If you know, so if you look at these places and you find it for this price, buy it for me. But if you're going to pay full price, please don't buy this for me.
Yeah.
Which
I'm also very particular.
Makes it even harder to shop for me.
Yeah. I'm always just like, I want this exact thing, this exact model. I've done the research.
Yeah.
Do not get me something that somebody at Best Buy tells you is the same thing.
Or I'll throw a fit and ruin Christmas again.
Exactly.
And that's why you're not invited to Thanksgiving anymore.
Partially. That's part of it.
Do you want to solve a problem or do we not have time? We have time? Great.
We got time. Who cares? Hello and welcome to Tim and Tom Solve Your Problems. I'm Tim.
I'm Tom.
And on this podcast, we solve your problems. If you have a problem you'd like us to solve, you can email us at thecompleteguidetoeverything@gmail.com. Tom, we're allowed to use this person's name.
Okay.
Hi, Tim and Tom. I'm Peyton.
Okay.
P-E-I-G-H-T-O-N, in case you think it's Peyton Manning, it's not.
I can't, if you say letters to me, I can't spell them. You could spell things in front of me like people do in front of babies to like not...
What? People spell words? Oh, okay, yeah.
Like, oh, should we put the baby to B-E-D? You could say, should we put Tom to B-E-D? And I wouldn't know. You'd be putting me to bed, and I'd be none the wiser.
Hi, Tim and Tom. I'm Peyton. Feel free to use my name.
Now, is this Peyton Manning?
No, it's not. Spelled differently, Tom.
Oh, okay.
I have a potential problem. I'm not sure what other wording to use. I started my own business earlier this year and recently decided to post my handmade items on Etsy.
Yes.
Tom, I think we're going to get tricked into plugging Peyton's Etsy store. I haven't done it sooner because I'm absolutely terrified of negative feedback.
Right.
I've sold some things in person. Everyone is always super polite to me and admire my items. Well, Peyton, come on, cool. But the internet is a completely different world. So my question is, how do you guys deal with negative feedback? People are absolute trolls on the internet, and that terrifies me. I have severe social anxiety, so selling in person is scary, but online, people tell you exactly what they think. I'm afraid the first time someone gives me a negative review, I'll mentally shut down. Hope my question isn't too long. Nope. Love the show. Managed to listen to every episode in the past few months, and I just became a Patreon supporter yesterday. Wow. Really cool. This is what happens when you should get your problems out.
Take all those old episodes down, and then people will become Patreon supporters quicker.
Yeah, that's true. You had to work all the way through everything. Keep up the good work, Peyton from Pennsylvania. All right. First of all, are people trolling people on Etsy? I can see if you're like doing like selling like political, like things with like political messages printed on them, right, and having trolls come. But if someone's just like, you know, I make handmade items, or people like, it sucks, fuck you, shut up, idiot.
I think it probably depends on what you're making. Like, if you're making something that is similar to items other people sell, then I can definitely see people comparing it, you know, potentially negatively. Or if it's like, you know, if you're making stuff that has like, I don't know, like some kind of a licensed character, but it's unlicensed or whatever, and they're like, oh, Baby Yoda would never have a bag like that. What are you, stupid? So if it's something like that, I could see. I'm sure it's not as bad as on Etsy as it is in other places, but I'm sure it's the, like every hole on the internet, it has its problems.
Yeah, I feel like people. Any negative Etsy reviews would be like, oh, the shipping got messed up, or like,
right,
they said this was like this wasn't what the picture looked like or something, right? Like,
oh yeah, I mean, that
it
happens.
Smelled weird. It smelled like my grandma's house when it came.
Yeah,
now I can never wear this sweater.
I mean, I've gotten like on my books on Amazon, I've gotten like 1-star reviews because like the package got caught in some gears and it just ripped the book to shreds. And, right, you know, they don't know that, like, they're looking to give that feedback to Amazon, but what they don't know is Amazon doesn't care. So
they don't know that that's actually preferable to reading the book.
Oh, I see. Having a machine chew it up.
Yeah. Hey, these people should consider themselves lucky.
It was you that left that review, Tim. I'm recognizing all these phrases.
So Peyton also asked, how do we deal with negative feedback? I don't think we get much that trickles down or up to us, that bubbles up to us, right? I mean, I'm sure people, I've heard people, like coworkers of mine being like, they've said like, oh, I played your podcast. Like, my wife and I went on a road trip and my wife hated it and made me turn it off.
Yeah,
right?
Right.
But that's just like, they didn't post that anywhere on the internet. It's just like, oh, of course my coworker's wife is going to hate me.
Yeah.
We're annoying.
And I've gotten a lot of negative feedback about you
in
private, in one-on-one interactions after shows.
From
who? Yeah, from fans after shows. They're usually congratulating me on such a good show, and then they're like, it's a real shame.
Yeah, dead weight.
With Tim up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we get negative iTunes reviews.
But those are fair.
Exactly. That's it's tough because sometimes, like, I know for, like, my books, when I get negative reviews, some of them I'm able to brush off, but if they're right, then that like devastates me. So like I don't read them because of that, good or bad.
I find it easier to write off the ones that make good points for the podcast because we're goofing around here. And if people are like, oh man, these guys say like and too much. I'm just like, yeah, we do.
No, but we get
never gonna change that about me. I'm sorry. I've accepted that about myself.
We get negative reviews sometimes that point out it's very rare, but sometimes we do get negative reviews where people are like, I see what they're trying to do here. Blah 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 blah. They're not funny. And like,
yeah, but what are you going to get angry at that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're also, I mean, podcasts and even like books, they're easier. I think people are going to be a little more critical if they're spending money on Etsy and everything that, you know, they want. I don't know. I would also say, I don't know what kind of rules is actually good advice, what kind of rules Etsy has about this kind of stuff. But I would say if there's a way to communicate to people, hey, if you have a problem with something, reach out to me before you leave a negative review. I'll try and make it right.
Yeah, but I don't think Peyton is even worried about. Yeah.
I think that's all they have to be worried about.
I don't think
people are going to leave reviews that haven't bought your products.
Exactly. And I would push back on the fact that, like, yeah, Twitter, I would say, is a fucking cesspool. And, yeah, like, there are parts of the internet that are a cesspool.
And like, that's what you keep saying. That's why you moved over to Parler.
Exactly. Join me on Parler. But I think generally when you're actually putting yourself out there and doing something creative, like, I think people are generally actually kind of supportive. Yeah. And there will be the trolling pieces of shit, like, particularly on, like, Twitter, on YouTube, like, just people that, like, but, you know, those are sad people.
Right. I think most people, when you're putting yourself out there, even if they don't like it, they're like, you know what, the person's putting themselves out there, like, I didn't care for this, but I'm not going to take the time to tear them down.
Yeah, and I think that's different with our podcast, Tom, because, like, we are goofing around, and we also express strong opinions sometimes.
Yeah.
And also, like, people are like, oh, yeah, I see what they're trying to do, and they're just not funny. It's like, yeah, no shit. We've been doing this 11 years, and we're, like, okay, moderately, potentially successful.
We've gotten a little bit better.
If we were really good, yeah, we'd be doing a lot better. We know. We know where we stand.
we're not that funny. We get it. We should be funnier. We should be smarter, more entertaining.
Yeah, guess what?
It's too late. The train's taken off.
And we're living our lives, and it's fine. Everybody's, you know, we've all accepted where we are at this point.
It's just kind of a low-level constant bothering.
Yeah.
It's not anything that can be fixed at this point. It's too late.
It's too late for us.
So send, you know what? Take your negative iTunes review. Send it to Santa Claus. See if he cares.
I don't think he will.
No. If anything, you'll be put on the naughty list.
Yeah. Speaking ill of podcasts.
Yeah. He'll be confused probably more than anything. If you like the show, you can find out more. Speaking of which, at tcgt.com. Hey, why not leave us one of them positive reviews we were talking about on iTunes? Or can you leave reviews on Spotify? I don't know how that works.
I don't know how anything works.
You can also support the show by checking out our sponsors. Also check out patreon.com/completeguide for our other podcast, Books the Podcast. This week we are starting to read a book called, oh my God, I forgot the name of the book.
You're reading it, you dink.
I know, but it's not one of those books like you read where they say the name of the book every other line.
What book is that, Tom?
Green Eggs and Ham. Nothing Lasts Forever by Roderick Thorpe.
That's what they based the song November Rain on.
Is what they based the movie Die Hard on. This is our Christmas book and Christmas movie. Tim's going to be watching the movie on Christmas Day. And, you know, that's a month from now. But in the meantime, you get to hear me read it. A lot of people probably didn't know that Die Hard was based on a book. Not the type of movie you think of being based on a book, but it was. And I'm reading it. Patreon.com/completeguide if you want to hear about it. Follow us on Instagram at TCGTE. Follow us, go on our Reddit, reddit.com /r/
What's going on here?
Complete guide. No, /TCGTE as well. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Follow us on Twitter at Complete Guide. Follow us on Instagram at TCGTE, I think.
Tommy, you say the same things every...
I know. Look at both.
I'm at your pal, Tim.
Oh,
you're
I'm
at Tom
Reynolds.
Reynolds.
Yeah.
Tom,
we should put up a Christmas list if you want to buy us Christmas gifts.
I always think that's weird, Tom, when you follow someone on Twitter or you take a look at somebody's Twitter profile because like a tweet went viral or whatever. Yeah. And especially when somebody has like is verified.
Yeah.
And they have a link to their Amazon wish list there. It's just like, well, I was gonna buy some shit for somebody whose tweet I thought was funny. Get out of town.
I've only seen that with like, cam girls and stuff do that.
No, I see like comedians and like activists too. Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, that's weird. I get it if it's like, oh, I'm a, you know, an online sex worker and it's like, you want to do something nice for me because then you can pretend like we're together or something.
These are Twitter accounts?
Yeah.
Where you pretend to be a lady's boyfriend?
What? No.
I don't understand the premise here.
I'm saying that, like, online sex workers, that a lot of them that
what
have...
What are online sex workers?
Like OnlyFans or cam girls, those types of, like, oh, I'm live streaming on my camera.
But this is on Twitter?
Yeah, they can be on Twitter, too.
Okay.
And
I don't know the seedy underbelly of the internet the way that you do.
And porn stars and stuff, they will be like, hey, buy me something. Because then, like, I'll, you know, perhaps give you, like, a personal thank you. And that will give you a real thrill.
Hmm.
But then no matter how much stuff you buy them, they won't say thank you. And then... Ooh, boy, do you get angry. You get real mad. And then you call up Amazon and you say, I want to know the address all those gifts got delivered to because I want to send a letter there. And then they say, no, you can't know the address. And you say, it's my goddamn money that I spent and I want to know the address that it was going to. And then all of a sudden you're down at the Amazon warehouse demanding to speak to a manager and the owner of Amazon, Jeff Bezos himself. And they say he's not working. He's not in here today. It's like, well, I thought, you know, this is a very big company. He's got to be working. I get that there's a time difference, but surely he's up by now. And if he heard about this, he would certainly want me to have this person's address so I can make sure that the things got delivered properly, because that's the only way this could have happened. If I'm not getting a thank you, it means that the presents weren't delivered, because obviously if they were delivered, they would say thank you.
See you next week.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.